You are listening to The Off the Hour with Stefan, formerly of From the Avalanche. We will now conduct an interview with Lindsay Pinto, a communications manager of Open Media, their organization to oppose to SOPA. For those who do not know it, what SOPA is, we have this clip for you.
The internet is one of the United States' most robust and growing industries. It enables free and open communication among billions, and it's been the backbone for protests around the world. But a new bill proposes we give the power to censor the internet to the entertainment industry. It's called Protect IP, and here's how it works. Private corporations want the ability to shut down unauthorized sites where people download movies, TV shows, and music. Since most of these sites are outside U.S. jurisdiction, Protect IP uses a couple different tactics within American borders. Firstly, it gives the government the power to make U.S. internet providers block access to infringing domain names. They can also sue U.S.-based search engines, directories, or even blogs and forums to have links to these sites removed. Secondly, Protect IP gives corporations and the government the ability to cut off funds to infringing websites by having U.S.-based advertisers and payment services cancel those accounts. In a nutshell, that's what Protect IP will try to do. But in all likelihood, it'll do something else altogether. For starters, it won't stop downloaders. You'll still be able to access a blocked site just by entering its IP address instead of its name. What Protect IP will do is cripple new startups because it also lets companies sue any site they feel isn't doing their filtering well enough. These lawsuits could easily bankrupt new search engines and social media sites. And Protect IP's wording is ambiguous enough that important social media sites could become targets. Lots of trailblazing websites could look like piracy havens to the wrong judge. Tumblr, SoundCloud, and early YouTube, wherever people express themselves, make art, broadcast news, or organize protests, there's plenty of TV footage, movie clips, and copyrighted music mixed in. And even if you trust the U.S. government not to abuse their new power to censor the net, what about the countries that follow in our path and pass similar laws? People around the world will have very different internets, and unscrupulous governments will have powerful tools to hinder free expression. But perhaps most dangerously, Protect IP will meddle with the inner workings of the net. Experts believe by fiddling with the web's registry of domain names, the result will be less security and less stability. In short, Protect IP won't stop piracy, but it will introduce vast potential for censorship and abuse while making the web less safe and less reliable. This is the internet we're talking about. It's a vital and vibrant medium, and our government is tampering with its basic structure so people will maybe buy more Hollywood movies. But Hollywood movies don't get grassroots candidates elected. They don't overthrow corrupt regimes, and the entire entertainment industry doesn't even contribute that much to our economy. The internet does all these and more. Corporations already have tools to fight piracy. They have the power to take down specific content, to sue peer-to-peer software companies out of existence, and to sue journalists just for talking about how to copy a DVD. They have a history of stretching and abusing their powers. They tried to take a baby video off YouTube just for the music playing in the background. They've used legal penalties written for large-scale commercial piracy to go after families and children. They even sued to ban the VCR and the first MP3 players. So the question is, how far will they take all this? The answer at this point is obvious. As far as we'll let them. Since we made this video, Protect IP has gotten much worse and is set up for quick passage. Now, the government and corporations could block any site, foreign or domestic, just for one infringing link. Sites like YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook would have to censor their users or get shut down, since they become liable for everything users post. And ordinary users could go to jail for 5 years for posting any copyrighted work, even just singing a pop song.
Well, Welcome back to CKUT 90.3, and we just heard about the bill there, what is going to happen to people wants to download and things like that, and what's going to be up and like that. So now we're going to have an interview with Open Media with Lindsay Pinto. Hello?
Hi.
Would you like to introduce yourself, and who are you, and what do you do at openmedia.ca?
Sure. My name is Lindsay Pinto, as you said, and I'm communications manager here at openmedia.ca. And in short, Open Media is a nonprofit that defends the internet and Canadian communication.
Okay. You want to do?
Hi, this is Matt. I'm just wondering, when did Open Media start?
It's about 3 years old now, Open Media, but we got our start really strongly when last year about 500,000 Canadians in the end signed a petition that we put up called Stop the Meter and started the growth of a very strong and very engaged pro-internet community that we're incredibly proud of.
And what other initiatives have you been part of?
We're currently, since we're on the topic of SOPA, we're currently dealing with some legislation that's pending called Lawful Access, that Canadians often call online spying.
Okay.
Which essentially allow authorities like the police and CSIS to get warrantless access to Canadians' electronic communications data. This kind of legislation is invasive, it's warrantless, and it'll cost a ton of money for network investments and might end up squeezing some independent ISPs out of the market. So, we are very concerned about that, and that is our most related issue. We have a petition up at stopspying.ca.
Okay.
I just wondering, like, will think Canada will follow this bill?
I'm sorry?
I think Canada will follow the states on the bill there of the SOFA bill?
Hopefully not. We, again, do have an incredibly engaged pro-internet community, but it definitely is a risk. So Canadians need to make sure that they speak out against the online spying bills as well as SOFA in the states, which is hugely problematic, so that our elected officials know and decision makers know that, you know, Canadians will revolt if this is the case. We want an open and accessible internet, and those kind of laws are contrary to that.
So what are some of the major issues in play here regarding the Stop Online Piracy Act?
Well, mainly it's censorship. We're talking about, you know, the U.S. government and private corporations being able to go in on suspicion of copyright infringement and say that websites should be blocked and that websites that link to those websites should be forced to take down part of their content as well. So, I mean, obviously this is hugely problematic to the way the internet functions as an ecosystem of websites that link to each other and where content is shared and innovation is encouraged. This is going to turn the internet into a very paranoid space. And into a space where people are less likely to share information for fear of retribution. So obviously, even that on its own is very problematic. Once you consider the digital economy and the fact that more and more businesses are being conducted online, having this kind of internet kill switch that's available to governments and corporations is hugely unsafe for the digital economy and will send North America flying back behind the rest of the world.
What sites will be targeted to this bill?
It's really difficult to say. I mean, websites big and small have expressed outrage against this bill. There's a very popular website called Reddit where people submit links and then they discuss them and vote on them about whether they're newsworthy or not or whether they're, you know, interesting or not. And that website has basically said that SOPA would destroy its business model and would destroy the way users interact on it. You know, websites like Google and Amazon have also joined this fight. Canadian domain registrar TwoCows. There's just basically the entire internet would be threatened by this.
Okay. Who supports this the SOPA bill?
There are a few senators and decision makers in the United States who do, as well as some copyright holders like the RIAA, which is the recording industry in America. They are strong supporters of SOPA because it'll help them essentially protect their content or force their any kind of potential copyright infringers right offline.
And who were the primary organizations? I know Google and Wikipedia did blackouts today, along with some other sites. Who are the major people fighting this?
There are a ton of organizations fighting against SOPA. It's actually quite amazing. Among them are the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, who do a lot of similar kind of work. Free Press, which is very close to being our U.S. equivalent. They tackle mm-hmm. many of the same issues as open media. Public Knowledge, the list kind of goes on, moveon.org. There are very few websites that or public interest organizations in the States, especially one focusing on advocacy or digital rights, that have failed to do anything about SOPA so far. So it is really very exciting. We at openmedia.ca today blacked out our website and started up a little petition where you can send a message to the Canadian ambassador to the United States and to Prime Minister Stephen Harper saying that we oppose SOPA in Canada. And that's at openmedia.ca/SOPA.
I'm just going to go back to the Stop the Meter, and I really signed that petition. Where did that go?
Stop the Meter, what happened to that was very complicated. But essentially, we won with a few caveats. So Stop the Meter, over 500,000 people signed it. It went back to the CRTC. There were hearings in the summer, and the CRTC right. came out with a decision on internet metering in the fall. Their decision basically gave us a framework for internet billing that makes a lot of sense, with details right. like tariffs that didn't make a lot of sense, that were way too high. So we are still pushing for those rates to be changed and to be more equitable. Mm. But we have the framework in place. We have a great place to start with that. And, Canadians on that one.
Yeah, another thing, too, is a lot of people are using Netflix, and that burns your bandwidth a lot. So
pretty quickly,
that,
too.
Quickly, too, if you put it on high def and like that, and like maybe it's time to get them on board because they're going to lose their customers.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the internet metering issue, as well as this, I mean, what they have in common is that they discriminate against the open internet. They use either the threat of overage fees or of just full-on being blocked to keep certain websites from being able to compete and to play and to express themselves online. And that's clearly not right. The web is moving towards more and more interactive content, more and more digital content, and people are being creative and remixing things. And frankly, we can't let anything that would prevent that, illegitimately.
And actually, too, we pay for it to be on that site, too. And like now we got to pay a little extra if we go over, you know, it's like...
Exactly. And the internet is very highly priced in Canada compared to the rest of the industrialized world already.
Yeah. And like in Montreal, like Videotron is still doing the bandwidth. And if you pass, they'll charge you for it, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, we still do face a market where there are only a very small number of internet service providers across Canada and a very small number of competitors. Those competitors are hugely important, and we need to protect them, and we need to make sure that they're able to compete more, and we need to make sure that new competitors can emerge. So these are the kind of so that we can, you know, start to have that kind of competition that will prevent usage-based billing and other invasive practices. Yeah.
Now, is there a compromise that could be reached between the two goals?
Between the two goals of trying to for UBB?
What SOPA's striving for in order to have a bit more control over the content? And go ahead.
Oh, no, go.
Oh, sorry. And also trying to have trying to keep the freedom that we have right now on the internet, to freedom of expression and freedom to kind of to use the content in a responsible way like we're doing now.
Yeah, there are definitely a number of different ways, and I can't speak very specifically to them. But, I mean, SOPA is clearly not the answer for enforcing copyright. People are either going to find a way around it, or it's going to dissuade people from using the internet at all. The ramifications are too serious for what it guarantees to copyright holders. So, I mean, there's obviously legislation that could water this down or that could, you know, reach some kind of balance between allowing people who create content to be to essentially be able to make money doing what they love and the ability to be creative online and to use the internet to its fullest. So, you know, that balance basically needs to be searched for, and this is clearly not it.
Okay.
Is there anything? Do you have anything else you wanted to add to the interview?
Just that Canadians can visit openmedia.ca to learn about any number of these issues. We have resources, and if we stand together, we really can make change in the Canadian internet and in the Canadian telecommunications market, and we're really excited for where this is going.
All right, well, thank you very much, Lindsay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Okay. You too.
Bye.